This past week, we've shared many things in that one day of, by the way, I believe I've kind of got it, that thing's been in my spirit for a long time, and boy, did I fight. I think I fought a bigger faith battle on that thing. The devil said, nobody will come, preacher's too busy, everybody's on the move, everybody's on the going. And they did come. And the Holy Ghost did come. And it really was a very special time because, you know, you touch a pastor, a minister, or even a field minister's life, and they're going to multiply that like loaves and fishes here in the ministry of Jesus. But the 8th chapter of Mark, I really never got into it really strong, although that was part of what I had in my heart. And I really felt led of God to turn to it this morning. I'll get into it as quick as I can. I believe I can go to the heart of the matter. I believe I can. And, you know, there's a little secret to it. The more you truck with me, the quicker I get through, you know. If I feel like I'm having to keep starting that spark of faith, well, you pray for me and I'll pray for you. Let's look at the 8th chapter of Mark, because you've heard me say this, and I believe it more fervently today than ever before. Not just us, but people like us. The world needs us more now than ever before. The true gospel of Jesus Christ, and you've heard me say this, and I mean it with all my heart, it's all of it. It's all of it. Someone the other day, they said, are you still in that faith? Are you still on that faith kick? I said, my Lord. God used Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin to minister to Joe and I, and it just turned our life around. And a true understanding, not to be goofy, flaky, or out in outer space, but the just shall live by faith. I mean, you can't improve on God's word. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. It gets a little more serious the further you go. But we are a faith and a grace church. Someone said, well, are you into grace? What about grace? I couldn't be here without it. None of us would be in this room today without the grace of God. As in the old classic Pentecostal teaching, you know, you'd spend most of your day repenting, and you'd already forgotten for what you thought you'd remembered to repent for, but you know, you didn't have time to win souls or do much for the Lord because you had to spend your time repenting, because the rapture may take place at any moment, you wouldn't be ready. I thank God that I finally heard the truth, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And when God saves us, our spirit is made brand new. Well, what about two-thirds of Paul? Some people say, well, I don't have to do anything. No, you missed the whole point on that. I don't have, two-thirds of Paul's writing tells us something to do or something not to do. But all sin is not heaven or hell. Not accepting Jesus, not being born again, that's hell. And you know, you hear all these nice accolades about famous people that die. And I could call some names, but it's really only God knows the heart. You know, only God really knows the heart. Only God. Thank God, I think there's been a lot of things happen at the last moment that we'll never know until we get into the presence of the Lord. But you see, not accepting Jesus, you're an accident looking for a place to happen right now, and it's going to last for eternity. I believe in heaven, and I believe in hell. And there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And the way you shun hell is to accept Jesus Christ by faith through, not of works, lest any man should boast, is by salvation, is by faith and grace and so on. But you see, God gave me this understanding. I was ministering at Brother Womack's, we've ministered for about 30 years now in his ministers' conferences. And someone said, boy, you cut the red tape on that. I said, yeah, I did. They said, well, where's the balance of faith and grace? And I said, well, have you ever seen a bird fly with one wing? You own some kind of a joint if you did, you know. you're smoking something or taking something or you're hallucinating. A bird flies on two wings, all the birds I've seen. And one wing is faith and the other wing is grace. And the truth of the matter is that grace provides everything that we'll ever need. But faith obtains it. Grace provides, but faith obtains. And so you can relax and enjoy the journey. You don't have to check out every hour on the hour. Does God love me or does he love me not? Am I going to heaven or am I going to hell? You know, and, you know, some of the old timers, I mean, if you just said shucks, you know, you'd lost your salvation there, you know. Thank God we've come into a place not of careless liberty, but of faith liberty. Praise God, where we can relax and enjoy the journey. Just relax and enjoy the journey. Amen. But that's a real keeper. If you didn't write that down, you need to. Just meditate on it. Maybe one day you'll get to tell me what a blessing it's been to you, because it's just been a life-changing insight for me. There's so much hoopla. Well, what about faith? What about grace? Bird needs both wings to fly. Both wings to fly. The gospel bird I'm talking about. And one of those wings is faith. The other one is grace. And without two wings, the bird doesn't fly. The bird doesn't fly. And thank God for the grace of God that has already provided everything that pertains to life and godliness. The forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed. Every crazy thing that has ever happened into your life. It's under the blood, the grace of God. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. And thank God for the cross. But you see, there again, it's all of it. There had to be the birth of Christ. And before that, there was the prophecies that he's coming. But there was the birth. And then there was the life. And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing all, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But then there's the cross, and there's the suffering. And he made the decision, even at the last moment, Father, if it's possible, let this pass from me. But it was not. Thank God he went to the cross. The problem is some people exclude the cross. Some people park at the cross. But what you've got to do is embrace all of it. You've got to go from the cross to the empty tomb. And then remember what Jesus said, 3 days and I'm out of here. You know, 3 days can make a real difference. I said 3 days makes a real difference. It's amazing how you can kind of rest up a little bit if you just get 3 clean days. Well, he gave Satan fits. Walked out of that thing. Praise God. Amen. And then he started walking through walls and revealed himself to 500 on one occasion, and the disciples and the precious women that loved him and believed in him. But you see, it's all of it. It's the prophetic, he's coming. It's the fact he did come. It's the fact that he lived such an awesome life for 3 years. And it's a fact that he was willing to give up all of that and be placed on the cross, and they plucked his beard and they spat upon him. And they said, if you're the Son of God, come down. But because he was the Son of God, because he loved us, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. I was on his mind when he was on the cross. Praise God. And I think of Joseph. You know, Joseph loved the dead body of Jesus more than people today love the resurrected Jesus, so many. He just said, I just want his body. I just want his body. Could you please give me his body? I have a nice tomb over here. He can have my expensive tomb. And he took Jesus lovingly from the cross and put him in his own tomb. But it didn't hold him. Hallelujah. I don't know if that's the exact tomb, but I don't know. It does it for me. We just got back 3 weeks ago from Israel. Every time I walk in there, I just want to shout it from the housetops. You have to kind of behave yourself a little bit around there sometime. But And I always say, he is not here. He is risen. Then he starts showing up everywhere. Praise God. And feeding people and fish on the fire and all those wonderful things. But you know, before he went away, he had a final word according to Acts. His final word according to Acts was Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What kind of power is that? I want to challenge you Bible students. So help me. This has just opened up to me here just recently. And it was the Spirit of God that did it. You know, if you know anything or even have an inclination toward the Holy Spirit, you're a Acts 1:8 person, right? You shall receive power. And then you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of there. Someone said, well, I'm born again, Spirit filled, but I don't feel called to witness. Well, you're not filling out that verse then, but we won't stay there. That's not my purpose today. But that power, that word power, check it out. Dr. Strong will help you out on that real quick. Check out that word power. There's more than one, but there's several references to that same power. One of those is that we're kept by the power of God. That is supernatural, awesome, God kind of power. That's not mind over matter. That's not just, you know, a little will or determination. We are kept by the power of God. You know, when people miss it and fall, and we've seen some people do that here the last little while, you know. But, you know, it's really hard to get away from God. You just have to start dropping out of church or coming, you don't listen, and just start leaving God out of your life. It's hard to backslide. It's hard. You've got to work at it. That's not my sermon either, but somebody might have needed that. Hallelujah. Praise God. But the power. Now we look at chapter 8. In those days, the multitude being very great. Has the multitude ever been greater than today? Has there ever been a multitude that needed Jesus that is greater than today? Population explosion all over the world? It just fired my spirit when I discovered that in the era of evangelist Pastor Jonathan Edwards, and he preached over this very pulpit up in New England. And you've heard the story of how it came to us, but it's just a gift of God that came, and I see great value. We don't worship furniture, but I worship what happens around furniture sometimes, you know, the Spirit of God. But in the era of Jonathan Edwards, 1/6 of America came to Jesus. Think about it. 1/6 of America came to Jesus. Now, I don't know what that number was then, but Charlie, we were talking about it a while back, and I said, Charlie, run the numbers. What would that be today? Around 55 million, I believe, didn't we come up with that? Around 55 million people coming to Jesus. And then Billy Graham passes away, and you'd take a heart of stone to look through the memoirs of that man's life, who 277 million people heard the gospel from that man. Think about it. You say, well, he was a Baptist. Well, what are you doing with it? You talk in tongues. Okay. We're all called to be witnesses, right? But when you look at that, look at how that God used him. 55 million people. Our work's cut out for us. And God's will is... Me pastoring, doing what I'm doing, actually God giving me length of life, and God and I have a special deal going on some things. But all of that is not just to hang out. It's not just to be in Guinness Book of Records. It's not just to attaboy whatever. I want to be a part of the end time harvesting of souls. I want to be a part. I've seen revival in greater Fort Worth, Texas. I want to see it again. I want to see a moving of God's Spirit. I want to see and it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I want to see God move in Washington. I want to see God move across the United States of America. I was of necessity, this last knee transfer that I had, and then cellulitis set in, and the doctors, they were very worried about me. It was a very serious time, and God brought me out of that. The shelf life of my feet's not as strong as it used to be. That's why I sit down sometime. But the thing that I want to say, I had to sit my lazy boy. I couldn't jump and run. I couldn't jump and drive. I mean, I'm an active guy. And so I don't like the trash of this world, so I kind of alternated between Christian television, the stations that were available. Let me tell you something. It's hard to find a real honest-to-God altar call just like you heard here this morning. Is that perfect? I mean, who of us does anything totally perfect except Jesus? But what I'm saying is, how much teaching do we have before we win this world for Jesus? How much teaching is it going to take to strike our match on the box? What's it going to take? And when altar calls were almost attempted, it always winds up kind of like Buddy Harrison used to say, kind of like, how's your mom and them is? You know, let's pray. Or do you feel bad? Or you had a bad hair day? You know, well, we're going to pray for you, you know. I mean, a real gut level, from the heart, Reinhard Bonnke type of reaching out and letting people know they're going to hell. Your sweet relatives are going to hell if they don't know Jesus. Your sweet neighbors are going to hell if they don't know Jesus. They go to hell from Australia just like they go to hell from America, just like Africa. A soul is a soul wherever you find a soul. There was a multitude being very great. They had nothing to eat. Nothing to eat didn't mean they were dying because they didn't have food. But as I read this, I thought, God, what a hunger. For 3 days, all those people ate was the word of God that they heard from the lips of Jesus. Come to our 3-day great meeting. Oh, by the way, there's going to be no food. What? 3 days out in the wilderness. You talk about hungry people. You talk about people that are hungry. Oh, folks, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. You got to get hungry. It's amazing what you'll eat sometimes in travel just because you get so hungry. Oh, we've got to be hungry and thirsty after righteousness. They shall be filled. Well, they didn't have anything to eat. Jesus called the disciples and he was commissioning them. And he said, I have compassion on the multitude. I've heard it. It's kind of a joke among the ministry. Well, it's not the ministry that I mind. It's just the people. Wait just a minute. If it weren't for the people, there'd be no ministry. People are the ministry. Little people, big people, old people, young people. People that are sharp and people that are kind of dull. A soul is a soul wherever you find a soul. And our outreach teams, we've gone to every, if we haven't been to everywhere, we're in the process of going there. Jesus said, I have compassion. And I asked Bob Nichols the question, do I have the right kind of compassion for the world in which I live? Are they just people or do I have compassion? Amen. Whenever you get tired of people, you might as well retire from the ministry. Amen. You'll have your share of disappointments. We've had our share, but, you know, you roll with the punches and you go on. But I remember what, I'll never forget, never forget. Got a sweet phone call the other day. Down in Shell one day, a lot of activity going on. And I ran in, got some gas, went in, and I was headed back for my car, and God said, go give that clerk at Shell $100. I had a mad $100 bill tucked in my wallet. And I thought, and as I was walking back in, I thought, well, some people will think, well, what is that preacher up to, you know? And it was just a busy time. And I walked up to her and I said, ma'am, God told me to give you this $100. And she just exploded in tears. Her whole world had fallen at her feet. She had warrants. She had problems on top of problems. And she said, "Well, are you anything to do with that church now?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I happen to be the pastor, but that has nothing to do with this. God told me He loves you and He wants you." She said, "Well, what did I do?" "Well, I don't." "Here it is, ma'am. God bless you." I just walked out. Well, she showed up, and you know, God has totally changed that girl's life. She's down in Houston working on her staff, doing outreach for souls. I mean, she'd had a rough life. And she came up to me after she came to the church. God turned her life around. And she said, "Pastor, it'd be a little while till I see you because I've got to go to jail." I said, "What for?" She said, "I've got all these warrants out on me." I said, "Well, you know, here's the pastor. So we'll see if we can find a lawyer to help you out. You know, you're going to church and living for God." "Oh, no, no." She said, "You don't understand. I'll win more souls in jail than I'll win outside of jail." Most of the pleas for help after I get through preaching is somebody's in jail, you know, help them get out. She said, "Oh, no, I've been there before." But she said, "This time I'm going on a mission." And after a while, she came back. She's just as happy as when I saw her the last Sunday morning in church. And she's here for a while. And she kept saying, "Well, Pastor, I guess here we go again. They found some more warrants on me. And I can't pay them, so I'm going back to jail." I said, "What? She said, "I know what you're going to say." But she said, "Forget it." She said, "I can win more souls in jail." She won everybody. She won everything within her voice. Served her time and came back. That's just so different than what we normally run into, you know. That's the first time I've ever heard a situation like that. So she's down in Houston winning souls. And, you know, that's the best $100 I ever spent in my life. Praise God. Let me go to jail. I went more souls. See, they're not going anywhere. I got them. They're locked in with me, so... All right, here's a multitude. Nothing to eat. Jesus said, "I have compassion on them because they've now been with me 3 days and they have nothing to eat." What a hungry crowd, hungry for the things of God. "And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they'll faint by the way. For divers of them came from afar." And his disciples answered, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" It's the wrong place. It's the wrong time. We don't have enough. It's always the wrong place, the wrong time. If we just had some more money. And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, 7. He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. Commanded the people to sit down, took the 7 loaves. And gave thanks at break, and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did eat before the people, and they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. So here you've got 4,000 people. 7 loaves and a few little old fish, and Jesus feeds them. And can't you just know they go out and they break off one and 2 more appear, you know? Can't you just see that bread and that fish just multiplying? Because you see, when you start using what God gave you, it starts multiplying. You know why so many people are so gripey around church and so critical and... I mean, someone was saying, "There's just something wrong around here, something wrong out here." Well, when we finally got to the bottom of it, he was what's wrong. If you got sin in your life, then everything else seems bad. Amen. Praise God. You know why so many people are disgruntled around church? I've never seen a day when so few people really know what they really think they want in a church. I mean, it's too loud, it's too quiet, it's too long, it's too short, it's, you know, And you just have to, kind of like Jack Cole when he had his tent up in Springfield, Missouri. He's preaching. Some people got up, walked out on him. He said, some are coming, some are going, and I'm still a-mowing. So that's kind of where I am. Some are coming, some are going. I'm still a-mowing. Praise the Lord. And then they got in the boat. And I can't get all tied up in that. But anyway, the Pharisees, they were giving Jesus a hard time. And he entered into the ship. And so Jesus charged them, saying in verse 15, take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves. You get yourself in trouble. You sit around and start reasoning instead of believing. You know, I haven't figured this church out in 54 years. Every once in a while I sit down and try to figure this place out. It drives you up the wall. All the things God's told us to do and the tight places we've been in and the crazy situations we face, and God just keeps shining on coming through. Well, they reason among themselves that he's picking on us because we forgot to only bring one loaf of bread. Well, what difference is one loaf of bread going to do with just the disciples when you just got through feeding 4,000 people? And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason you because you have no bread? Now listen to these words from Jesus. They were reasoning among themselves. He said, perceive ye not, neither don't you understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? God has just given me a heart change the last few days. You know, when your back's up against the wall and you face financial pressures, and, you know, we've come through our share of facing some things the last few years, and it's a brand new day. If you're not careful, the cares of this life will start charting your course instead of faith in God. That's all of us. You know, I don't have 2 hours to explain that one to you if you don't pick up on it. Praise the Lord. But here we go. But is your heart hardened? Bob, is your heart hardened? There's so many things to do, so many opportunities, so many things at our fingertip, so many things that just a little more money. I said, I wished I was a millionaire or a billionaire and I could find a guy like me. I wished I could find a guy. See, I know my heart better than I know anybody else's heart, I think, you know. I wish I could find a guy like me and help support him, you know. Just say, hey, let's go have fun. Let's win souls. Let's give Satan a fit, you know. What's your vision? What's your dreams, Pastor? Let's go do it. Let's do it. Praise God. Well, he said, is your heart hardened? You have eyes, but you're not seeing. You have ears, but you're not hearing. Do you not remember? Do you not remember? You know, part of the Christian life, isn't it crazy? We remember things we should forget and forget things we should remember. It's really amazing. And what are you talking about, Lord? Well, don't you remember when I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, and it was 12. You had all these thousands of people and 5 loaves, and it was impossible to feed them. Do you remember those impossible times? We just got through with an impossible time before we took this boat ride. But do you remember back when there were 5,000? And we picked up 12 baskets left over. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. See, God knows numbers. And he said unto them, how is it that you don't understand? How is it? And let me give you 4 things, and I'll tie this together, and this, I think, will help us to see what God wants us to have out of this portion of his word. First of all, it's time to remember. It's time to remember. It's time to remember. Not not to dwell on the past, not to just live in the past. But these last few days, I've gone back to the post office. I remember when we first opened the door to that little humble building. And I mean, I'm so full of vision, I'm about to explode. And architects said it won't work, and builders said it wouldn't work, and church planners said it wouldn't work, and people said it wouldn't work. Man, I didn't hear a word they said. I'd heard from God. And when I opened that door, I looked, and as I walked through that building, I saw where everything belonged. I tried to explain it even to some preachers coming. They said, well, I don't see what you say. Well, I don't know, you know. You know, God didn't show it to you, I guess. But the auditorium turned out very well where God showed it to me. And we could put a little second story, and then we put a basement, and we bought 2 city blocks of property. Because God said, do it. Because God said, do it. Hallelujah. Remember, do you remember how impossible it was? No people, no money, nothing but Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Go for it, son. If you read the 41st chapter of Isaiah and not get fired up, quit the ministry. Amen. He said, I'll make of you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. You're going to thresh the mountains and beat them small. Hallelujah. God didn't call us to defeat. God called us to be winners, more than conquerors. And we settle back to a lesser fare so quickly, so easily sometimes. Remember, I remembered how impossible it was when the call came to us from First Baptist Church downtown. You got to be kidding. We have an auditorium that seats 200 people. You got 2,000-seat auditorium. And they said, you're the only church in Fort Worth that we believe can handle the indebtedness on this church. I thought, my God, have mercy. You don't know who I really am. Amen. There's a difference in 200 seats and 2,000 seats. I do know that. But I went downtown, and then I remembered when we started the church in 1964. I walked into the back of that great First Baptist church. The seats weren't there. And I looked in there, and I saw that thing. And my heart exploded because I grew up in little congregations. Well, I say little, maybe 200, 300 at the most, you know. But I looked at that auditorium, and there weren't many churches that had big congregations at that time, 1964. And I looked across that auditorium. Every time I'd find a church door open, I'd walk in because I'd get ideas about building our little place a little bit better or whatever. And I walked in and I saw that. I said, oh, God, I'd give anything to see a place like this for the full gospel. I'd give anything, Lord. And then one day it dawned on me, that phone call. God heard what I said. God heard what I said. I'd give anything to see a place like this for the full gospel. We went down there, and boy, we went through a time when I thought God had left town and had an unlisted phone number. But you know what? God saw us through. And a little $40,000 post office seemed very insignificant now because we needed $1.5 million, and then we needed another million, and we needed. Oh, it's good to remember the faithfulness of God in days gone by. Remember when everyone said you couldn't make it. Remember when nothing was working for you. Remember when it seemed totally impossible. But God said, go for it, son. Go for it. Remember. The second thing that I saw out of this little portion of God's word is, number one, remember. Number two, give thanks. Give thanks. We were downtown, and to save money, they were running water without chemicals through the twin boilers. Twin boilers were the heat for the whole building. And it was ice on the parking lot. It was snowing. And I'd called in evangelist D.H. Phillips. I said, brother, we need $18,000 to fix this boiler. We've got one boiler that's out, and the other boiler is just limping along. We're just, David Patton was just doing the best he could to keep it going. And we're sitting in my office, and hardly anyone came to church that morning. There's snow outside. I've got an evangelist there to raise money, and not many people there. And I'm sitting in the office, and my wife's over there writing on a piece of paper. She says, it's going to be interesting to see how God does it this time. Oh, it's good to have a faith woman at a time like that. It's going to be interesting to see how God does it this time. Anyway, we went out to the auditorium, and I'm sitting on the platform. I didn't feel like God's man of faith and power. I thought, oh, God, transfer me somewhere. You know? And Brother Phillips got up and said, bless God, he said, we're going to raise $20,000 this morning. Just a little tiny handful of people. I didn't know there was that much money in the world on that Sunday morning. And he said, bring 10 chairs down here. He said, so everyone that comes sits in these chairs, you give $1,000. And I thought, oh, God, this is not going to work. This is not gonna... You know, we all have our down moments, okay? And people jumped up out of their seats. Weren't many people, but everyone there just was in a giving spirit. There was a doctor that came from First Methodist because they didn't have church that day because of snow and ice. He said, I drove by this place out of curiosity, and something just said, go in there. And I went in, and he's one of the first ones down to give $1,000. Never saw him again, but, you know, praise God. Give thanks. Just remember all the times when God made a way when there was no way, when the rent was due and you didn't have it, when the house payment was due and you didn't have it, when the car was limping along or you were facing maybe a challenge in your marriage or a challenge with your children and your grandchildren, and God brought you through. Woo! It's time to give thanks. I said it's time to give thanks. You know, God blesses people that give thanks. God blesses a thankful heart. Oh, thank God. Remember, give thanks. But you know, there's something going a little further into this eighth chapter, and I'm about to wind it here, not far from it. But there was a blind man. They brought him to Jesus, and Jesus prayed. Of all things, Jesus prayed for the man, and he didn't get his complete sight. He said, I see men as trees walking around. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Verse 25. And after that, he put his hands again on his eyes and made him look up. Watch it. I got you by the chin right now. Look up. I dare you to look up. Hallelujah. I dare you to look up. I dare you. I dare you to look up. Hallelujah. Lift your eyes to the hills from which cometh your help. Stop looking down. Start looking up. We serve a miracle working God. He made him look up. I've never read that before. Jesus made the man look up. Praise God. Got him by the chin and said, you know. He made him look up. He said, what good was that? He just got his eyesight, you know, no big deal. Just, I tell you, when you obey God, it's amazing how God does miracles in your behalf. Hallelujah. 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 Made him look up. Look up and rejoice. You know, it's time to look up and rejoice. I said it's time to look up and rejoice. Hallelujah. It's time to look up and rejoice. So we learn. Number one, remember. Number two, give thanks. Number three, look up. Just look up and see the Lord. And then the final thing that I would give you here, there's a lot more, but I'll have mercy on you this morning. Praise God. And that is what Jesus said in John, the 4th chapter, verse 34. My meat is to do and to finish what the Father called me to do. Folks, there's a job for all of us to do. There's no discharge from this army. I say it with a sad heart. There's people that lost their blessing for making a bad decision to forsake this house at a very strange time. How can you spend 20 years building a reward and then try to destroy the very thing that you gave toward? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. I'm not, Mama's not here. She was an English teacher. She'd get me for saying it, but I said, I ain't quitting. If I said I ain't around Mama, she'd always remind me, son, I've taught you better English than that, you know. But I ain't quitting. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Overcomer takes it all. I said an overcomer takes it all. Hallelujah. You know, I rediscovered it. It's just funny. The basics is where we miss it. I mean, I went a couple of days, and I was just blah. I mean, things were happening. I'm not usually that way, but it was just, I said, God, things are just blah. God said, why don't you practice what you preach? Why don't you get happy when you don't feel like it? Why don't you say God's making a way when you don't see him doing it? Why don't you anticipate a miracle when there's not one in sight? Hallelujah. Why don't you just set yourself up for a miracle? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say America's going to hell in a handbasket. Well, let's get a dump truck and truck them out. Hallelujah. Amen. It's time to do. It's time to finish what God's called us to do. Are you getting anything out of this? It's time to do. It's time to finish. It's more important to finish than it was to start. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Oh, how many ministries, how many churches, how many people do I know who had such a glorious start, but they got offended or some silly nonsensical thing knocked them out of the arena? I may not be the sharpest blade in the drawer. I may not know everything I want to know, and I may not be able to do everything I want to do, but I'll tell you one thing. I've got enough God sense in me. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to do, and I'm going to finish what God's called me to do. Hallelujah. And God surrounded me with some can-do people. Hallelujah. And if I win, that's a blowout. If you win, that's a blowout. If we both win, that's a total blowout. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet if you will. Woo. It's time to look up and rejoice. Can't you see someone come around and say, honey, didn't Jesus hurt your feelings when he grabbed you by the beard, made you look up? Oh, no, no. He said, I got my sight back. Hallelujah. Sometimes in spite of yourself, God makes you look up. There's profoundness and simplicity sometimes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God. Let me give you my definition for an overcomer, if there's anyone that hasn't heard it. Many of you have already heard it. My definition of an overcomer is someone who overcame something that was hard for him to overcome. How about that, sports fans? Amen. Someone who overcame something that was hard for them to overcome. That's called a world-class overcomer. Hallelujah. You don't quit on your first day. You don't quit on your worst day. You don't quit when you feel bad. You don't quit when you feel sad. Hallelujah. Boy, I was so glad to get out of that lazy boy and start swinging the bat again. Praise God. Folks, there's a world that needs us. There's a world that needs every one of us. I said there's a world that needs every one of us. Oh, Reba Heresi Katai. Reba Bai. I'll tell you, on our 54th anniversary, could we just have one final word here at the front? Let's pray in spirit about 3 minutes. We've had a full morning. I'm believing God for a mightier outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I'm believing God to shake our nation from coast to coast and border to border. Oh, lift your voice and pray in the Spirit. Lift your voice and pray in the Spirit. Oh, lift your voice and pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, lift your voice and pray in the Spirit. pray in the Spirit. Well, you've been so kind. Let us share these principles of victory. This is the victory that overcometh even our faith. Amen. God's at work. God's at work. Father, I want to thank you for this gathering today. And I want to thank you that I believe fresh oil and new wine has been imparted to people's lives this morning. Lord, if there's anyone here with a heavy heart, anyone that needs a breakthrough, I thank you in the name of Jesus. It's theirs. It's theirs. It's theirs. Thank you, Lord. And God, especially these ministers who are here this morning, every one of them could be home at their post of duty, but they felt that they wanted to come and be a part of this celebration time. Father, I bless every ministry that's represented here today. And I thank you the greatest breakthroughs of their ministry is before them. I thank you, Lord, you're going to give them a whole new harvest of souls. I thank you, Father, that money's coming in from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I thank you, Holy God, in the name of Jesus, that a spirit of signs, wonders, and miracles and healings is going to happen on every hand. Hallelujah. If anyone's facing that ugly moment of opposition, I just say in the name of Jesus, get them right or get them out. Move them on. Move them on. Move them on. Father, I just thank you that we're going to do and we're going to finish what God's called us to do. In Jesus' name. Now, let me tell you what God put in my heart, and then we'll just have a final shout before we get out of here today. What I did Friday was just something God put in my heart. You know, we moved one of our Hammond organs we had in storage here, moved it into the chapel there. And God put something in my heart. I've had some people say, well, Pastor, why don't you consider having a breakthrough for those in the house? I said, that's a good idea. Amen. Uh-huh. So for the next two Wednesday nights, we're going to meet in the chapel. The next two Wednesday nights, that's not a permanent thing. And I don't know what all that's going. I don't know how many wires that's going to undo or do or whatever. But Wednesday night, we're going to meet in the chapel, and we're going to have a time of impartation. We're going to praise God. We're going to kick Satan where it hurts, and we're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We found a good bargain on some chairs, so I believe we have enough chairs to accommodate. Amen. It'd be all right if we have a packed house. Who knows? Praise God. But we're going to meet in the chapel the next two Wednesday nights. That's not a move down. That's a move up. And we're going to have a time of impartation. Hallelujah. But get ready to enter a miracle zone when you do. Get ready to enter a miracle zone, a breakthrough zone, a breakthrough. Praise God. And so what we've shared with ministers, many of it touched my heart, all the thank yous that people were expressing for that particular time. You'd have to be there to understand what happened. You know, ministers need ministers. We need one another. We need each other. We really need each other. And we love everybody, and we appreciate the fellowship of everybody. But in the ministry, you do face some very unique situations. And you either quit or you get a hold of faith, go through, you know. And God's given us the grace and the grit and the grace and the faith to go through so far. And I believe it's going to happen. So Wednesday night, we're going to be at the chapel. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Amen. All you have to bring is your Bible and your faith. Hallelujah. And come expecting the goodness of God in the land of the living. Father, I want to thank you again today. God, these precious people that have... I'm just blown away. Two couples here flew 20,000 miles round trip before they get home. Just to be here. These folks live a few blocks away, too tired to make it. I don't understand some things. But Father, I thank you that hungry people will find a way to get fresh oil and new wine. And this is a time of turnaround in this church. This is a time of turnaround. This is a time of new beginnings. And I sense it with every fiber of my being. Thank you, Father. We'll be back tonight. Tonight's going to be a time of fresh fire, and a time of just the power and the anointing of God's Holy Spirit in this room, 6:30. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And by the way, thank you for the love offering. Thank you. Thank you for every kindness, every card, for any and every expression. Some of the sweetest people on the face of God's earth attend Calvary Cathedral International. God bless you. Go with God. And have a blessed afternoon. Amen. Revive.